Today, 1st January, the year 2003, the Dhamma talk that will be delivered tonight at this meditation retreat will be the three ways Dhamma. You audience yogis here are travelers making your journey in the samsara. If you know which way to go, it will be better for you. There are three ways, and if you know where these three ways can send you, and if you can choose, it will be better for you. It is better if one knows where one is going. Now, there are three ways. Number one is the way of action, or the way of karma. Number two is way of meditative absorption, or jhana concentration. That is the way of jhana. The third one is known as way of wisdom, or way of knowledge. That is the way of jnana. Now, what is the way of karma, or what is the way of action? If you do charity, or if you have liberality or generosity, you will be doing it to gain the dana wholesome merits. And also, if you are observing or taking care of your morality, you are doing it in order to gain the sila wholesome merits, like observing the 5 precepts, observing the 8 precepts, observing the 9 precepts, and so on. If you follow that way, you are following the way of action, or the way of karma. Now we come to the second way. That is the way of jhana. In this way, you can do to gain wholesome merits in connection with materiality, and in connection with materiality. The first is immateriality, and the second is materiality. Now we come to the third way. That is the way of jnana, or the way of wisdom. That is by doing vipassana, by practicing vipassana meditation, or insight meditation. Now Searo asks, among these three ways, which way are you going to follow? That you should know by yourself. If you follow the way of action, or the way of karma, that is, if you just do charity and observe the precepts, or keep your morality, if you follow this way, where will you go? Don't you want to know? Searo asked, and the audience said, yes, Venerable Sir, we want to know. So where are you going? If you take that way, you can reach only the planes of the human beings and the planes of the celestials, that is the devas. Can you get up to Nibbana? No, sir, you cannot get up to Nibbana. Therefore, if you follow this way, you will only reach the planes of the human beings and the planes of the celestials. If you reach only the plane of the human beings and the planes of the celestials, are you reaching your destination? Not yet. Now, if you go by the second way, that is the way of jhana, you will only reach the planes of the Brahma. Is that also the end of your journey? No. This is not your goal and this is not your destination. Because even while you can be born in the reborn in the plains of the Brahmas, having a very radiant look, you still can fall to the four lower woeful states, including the animal kingdom, because there was an instance where at one time Brahma became a little female pig after staying in the Brahma's wall for many, many wall cycles. So the Brahma's wall is also not the goal and not the destination. Now we come to the third way. That is the way of jnana or the way of wisdom. In the way of wisdom, you have to do it by means of vipassana meditation. If you want to get to your final destination, one shall practice vipassana meditation. Now I will give you a little elaboration. Only if you have followed first the way of karma, and if the karma, the way of karma is you have done well there, only then you can go up to the way of jnana or the way of wisdom. So what do you do in this way of karma or the way of action? You do charity. That is, you must have liberality or generosity, and by that you gain the dana, wholesome merits. Now you have good benefits only if you are endowed with the three things, that is aloba, adosa, and amoha. Aloba means non-greed, adosa means non-anger or hatred, amoha means non-delusion. So only if the way of karma is good, you can climb up the way of jhana and the way of jnana, that is the way of wisdom. Only if you are a person who has non-greed, non-anger, non-hatred, and non-delusion, you can progress up to the way of wisdom. Now he asks again, the audience yogi here, do you want to go along the way of jhana? The yogis answered, no, venerable sir. Why? Because it will not take you to the end of your line. That is, you will not get to your destination. So in order to become possess these three entities, that is non-greed, non-hatred, anger, and non-delusion, what you have to do? Number one, when you are giving away your property, that is when you are doing charity, you must not have stinginess, you must not have attachment to your property that you had given. Instead, you must be you must not be stingy about it. Number two, that is aloba. That is aloba, non-greed. If you are not stingy and if you are liberal and if you are generous, that means aloba, non-greed. Now we come to number two. Also, you must have loving kindness towards the people, the recipients of your offering. Oh, may they be happy, may they be well, something like that. That means loving kindness. You must have loving kindness towards these people. Having loving kindness means non-anger or non-hatred. That is adosa. Now we come to number three. You must be happy in doing this kind of charity that the wholesome merit that you gain can take you, can accompany you all along until you realize the Nibbana. So, only if you possess the three qualities, non-greed, non-anger, and non-delusion, you can progress along the way of jnana or the way of wisdom. And also, even though you possess these qualities, namely non-greed, non-hatred, non-anger, and non-delusion, it must be a top one, that is a superior one. If it is not a superior one, and if what you possess is the inferior one, you can still will not be able to go along the way of jnana. So, how can you do it so that your non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion is of the superior quality? That is, before you do the charity, you must be happy to do it. After doing charity, you must be happy for having done it. That is, before and after doing the charity, you must be happy. That is, you must have it in mind that way. How are you going to do it? Before you do the charity, you should be happy because you are about to get the chance to offer your property to the people who observe precepts and who has higher training and who has higher concentration. By reflecting thus, you should be happy before you do the charity. And how about after doing the charity, you should still be happy? After doing the charity, you should reflect in such a way that, well, I have done this. Now, I have already extracted the essence, dana and sila, from the non-essence, my property wealth. That way, if you can make yourself happy before and after the offering, the three things that are being endowed in you are of superior quality. Then only you can progress along the way of jnana and you can reach your destination. So the main thing is that the way you go along this jnana's way, the way of jnana, must be a good one. So if you go along this way by practicing Vipassana meditation, where will it take you? Of course, it will take you to your destination, that is the bliss of Nibbana. Now you must have that inherent, some have inherent properties, like this aloba, adosa, and amoha. Now how can you know that one has a good amount of that inherent quality, aloba, one has the good amount of that quality, amoha, adosa, and one has the good amount of inherent quality, amoha? Well, some of them may be having aloba as inherent quality. Some of them may be having amoha as inherent quality. Some of them may be having adosa as inherent quality. In according inherent quality that one has, one can meditate vipassana meditation. What I am trying to say is that if you have the inherent qualities aloba and adosa, it will be easier for you to practice kaya nupassana and virana nupassana. That is, if you have these two inherent qualities, non-greed and non-hatred, it will be easy for you to contemplate the body in the body and to contemplate the feeling in the feeling. So, if you contemplate the body in the body and the feeling in the feeling, and if you have these two inherent qualities, you will be able to fulfill your requirements very quickly. That is, you will make the great very quickly. Also, this is aloba and adosa. And Searo asks, well, are you, the audience, get a clear idea about this? The audience answered, yes, Venerable Sir. Now, who has which inherent quality? Searo said, according to the Thakara teachers or commentary teachers, only Lord Buddha knew about it. Even the disciple Sariputta, the disciple of Lord Buddha, didn't know. Now we come to another one. For those people who had that inherent quality, amoha or non-delusion, it will be easier for them to practice Saita Nupassana and Dhamma Nupassana. That is, contemplation of consciousness in the consciousness and contemplation of Dhamma in the Dhamma. If you are going to ask me what Dhamma means, in most of the books it is written as mind objects. Here I don't translate it as mind objects because to many of us, to many venerables here, they do not translate Dhamma into, give the translation of Dhamma, because Dhamma has many meanings. So I am not going to confuse you with all these things. So let us say that for those people who have the inherent quality of this non-delusion, it will be easier for them to practice the contemplation of consciousness in the consciousness and the contemplation of Dhamma in Dhamma. So which yogi has which inherent quality? Only Lord Buddha knew about it. At one time, there was a son of a goldsmith. He felt disgusted with the normal mundane life, so he got himself ordained as a monk, and he practiced meditation under the Venerable Sariputta. This young man is still very young in age, and he has a very good appearance. So Sariputta thought that, well, he might still be attached to his body aggregates. So if he has that kind of attachment and if that kind of craving, Sariputta thought, maybe I should give him a cemetery meditation or meditation in foulness or lewdfulness, or loathsomeness. That is, to look at a dead body or a corpse. So he sent the young man, I mean already a young monk, to a place in the country. He said, go there and practice meditation, that is meditation in loathsomeness or foulness. That is also known as cemetery meditation. The young monk went there, meditated or practiced meditation, and after some times, he couldn't even establish a little bit of concentration, let alone realizing the noble Dhamma. And he thought, well, I would not be able to obtain, able to realize the noble Dhamma. So he went back to the Venerable and reported to the Venerable, Venerable Sir, I did as I was told by you, as I was instructed by you, but I could not even establish the concentration. So he was sent back again. No, there may be something wrong in what you are doing. Go back again. So he gave some more instructions and sent the young monk again. The young monk went back again, and still he cannot establish concentration. He came back again, and he was sent back again, and he came back because he could not establish concentration. Then the Venerable Sariputta began to realize that, well, this young man is a type of person who cannot be taught to be liberated by an ordinary disciple like him. So he took the young monk to Lord Buddha. And Lord Buddha knew that this young monk cannot establish concentration by this cemetery meditation or meditation in loathsomeness or foulness. So he created a lotus bud and let the monk practice, and in no time the monk became an arhant. So this inherent quality, what is the inherent quality? Namely, the aloba, adosa, amoha, this can only be known by Lord Buddha. So how an ordinary meditation master can know who has which inherent quality? Now, while you are practicing according to the methods given by our benefactor, Maharshi Syaro, in your sitting meditation and in your noting, you will be doing rising, falling, sitting and touching. While you are doing that, at the beginning of your practice, of your meditation, sometimes you will have pain, sometimes you will have tingling, sometimes you will have dull pain, and so on. You have to note it. And sometimes your mind will go away, that is, your mind will wander. Then you note, if your mind wanders, you note wandering, wandering. If you are thinking, you note thinking, thinking. If you are planning, you note planning, planning. If you hear something, you note hearing, hearing. Of course, you have to note it as mere hearing. Now, while you are noting rising, falling, sitting and touching, not sitting and touching, I mean sitting or touching, what were you doing? You were noting the body in the body. That is why it is called Kaya Nupassana. Now, when you have pain, when you have tingling, when you have dull pain, when you have aches, while you have bitings, what are you noting? You are noting the feeling. That is why it is known as Vedana Nupassana. Now, when your mind goes away, goes wandering, you note wandering, wandering, thinking, thinking, planning as the case may be. You are noting the consciousness in the consciousness. Now when you hear the sound, you note it as hearing. Of course, you note it as mere hearing. That is, you are contemplating the Dhamma in the Dhamma. See, now you are noting rising, falling, sitting, touching. You are noting pain, tingling, dull pain, bindings, aches, itches, and so on. What are you noting? Contemplating the consciousness, contemplating the feeling in the feeling. And also when you are noting your mind wandering, you are noting, that is, contemplating the consciousness in the consciousness. When you hear a sound, and if you notice, just for mere hearing sake, then you are contemplating Dhamma in the Dhamma. So in each, and while you are noting here, all the four foundations of mindfulness. And also, by noting that way, sometimes you can know your own inherent quality. For some, while noting rising and falling, some can see the beginning of rising, the end of rising, beginning of falling, the end of falling. And when your concentration becomes stronger, when you note either rising or falling, for example, you are noting rising, you see that, you will notice that the rising belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the rising belongs to another process. And while you are noting falling, the falling belongs to one process, falling behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the falling behavior belongs to another process. And similarly, when you are noting sitting, the sitting behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the sitting behavior belongs to another process. And also, while you are noting touching, the touching behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes that behavior belongs to another process. And you note the beginning of rising, the end of rising, the beginning of falling, the end of falling. See, what are you noting at? You are noting the body in the body. It may be very good noting for you. You may be, the noting or the meditation will be going very well. Which meditation? Contemplation of body in the body. Well, if you are noting very well in the contemplation of body in the body, at least you know what your inherent qualities are. That is, your inherent qualities are aloba or non-greed. And similarly, if you can note the pains, the inklings, the dull pains, the bindings, the aches, itching, and so on, if you can note the feeling very well, that also means that you had aloba as your inherent quality. Now, if you can for those kind of people who can note the pain very well, I mean note the feeling very well, they would report to their meditation master, "Venerable sir, I am very good at noting the feeling, the Vedana. The noting is going very well. When there is no pain in my body, I cannot note very well. So even the pain in my body is good for me for the sake of noting." But for that kind of person, it may be that sometimes noting of the hearing may be may not be very good. So he or she may report to the meditation master that, though I can note very well, I can note the pain very well, and for in the case of sound, I cannot note the sound very well. Now, as you are noting in the contemplation of body, in the body is going well, if you go on noting that, if you have not yet experienced the Dhamma, you will experience it, that is the nature of what is happening in your body. And if you have not yet, if you do not have yet the progress of Dhamma, you will be having the progress of insight now. And if you are deserving, you will also realize the noble Dhamma. Now for some people, it is the noting of the mind will go very well. They will see that their mind changes, and sometimes for some people, noting the hearing and seeing may be very good. For these people, it means that their inherent quality is amoha. So you must be very careful about your contemplation and see to which type of person you belong to. Now, see in the walking meditation, you will be doing, for example, lifting, pushing forward, and dropping. And in your lifting, you will experience that your foot goes up with increasing lightness. And also in your pushing forward, you may experience that your foot goes forward with increasing lightness. And also in the dropping, you will experience that your foot goes down with increasing heaviness. So which one is your inherent quality? That is, doing walking meditation is the contemplation of body in the body. That means your inherent qualities are alobha and adosa. Now for some people, they will report to the meditation master that, "Venerable sir, to me the intention is very clear. The dissolution of intention or passing away of intention is also very clear. But Venerable sir, I cannot see the rising and falling very well." So what kind of a person is that? That kind of person will be very good in contemplating the consciousness in the consciousness, in contemplating the Dhamma in the Dhamma. That means that person's inherent quality is amoha. Now by this way, you can find out your own inherent quality. And you can decide it for yourself and by yourself. For those people who in their previous existences had built up this inherent quality, that is amoha quality, it is very easy for them to contemplate the consciousness in the consciousness, to contemplate the Dhamma in the Dhamma. And by contemplating that way, they can very quickly experience the Dhamma, have the progress of insight, and if deserving, realize the noble Dhamma. And also, those people with this alobha inherent quality can see the characteristic anicca very easily. Some yogi may report to the meditation master, "Venerable sir, I can see anicca better than I can see dukkha." Now let us see In the series of Vipassana insight, the first knowledge is known as analytical knowledge of mind and matter. The second knowledge is known as the knowledge of cause and effect. The third knowledge is known as knowledge of comprehension. So I will explain these a little bit. Now when you are noting rising, falling, sitting or touching, as I have already explained before, the rising behavior belongs to one process while the noting mind belongs to another process. It is similar with falling, sitting and touching. That is, the behaviors belong to one process while the noting minds that note each of these behaviors belong to another process. This rising, falling, sitting and touching behaviors are not conscious of the object, therefore they belong to the nature of matter, while the noting mind that notes these behavior is conscious of the object, therefore it belongs to the nature of mind. Now, as soon as you know the nature of mind and matter, you can decide it for yourself and by yourself. That you had already attained the first knowledge of Vipassana, which is known as the analytical knowledge of mind and matter. When you know the analytical knowledge of mind and matter, you know the nature of mind and you know the nature of matter. It means that there is no I. If there is no I, you have abandoned the other deity and Sakaya deity. What are these? That is ego, illusion and personality belief. If you have abandoned these things, you can become a Sotapanna and you will become a Sotapanna or a stream winner and you will close the gates to the lower four woeful states forever. If you go on noting, and if your concentration is getting stronger, more powerful and more mature, you will see that because of the rising, falling, sitting or touching behaviors are appearing ahead, you have to follow behind to note it. That is, your noting mind has to follow from behind and note it. Thus, you can see that these rising, falling, sitting or touching behavior is the cause. While the noting mind that notes each of these behavior is the effect. Now you know cause and effect. Knowing cause and effect constitutes the knowledge of cause and effect. Now there are many kinds of risings and fallings. Sometimes you feel the rising and falling at your side, not in the middle, sometimes at the back, sometimes on the chest, sometimes on the top of the head. So the yogi may report his or her experience to the meditation master. Venerable sir, my rising and falling is now on my chest. My rising and falling is now on the top of my head. What shall I do, sir? And the meditation master will say, if it is on your chest, note it on your chest. If it is on the top of your head, note it on the top of the head. Now, what you have to do is, the rising and falling, you should note by paying close attention. Now you know what is meant by cause and effect. And if you go on continuing the noting business, As your concentration becomes stronger, more powerful, and more mature, you reach another stage of knowledge known as the knowledge of comprehension. This is the knowledge where one comprehends the three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. When you reach this stage, you will be very tired, you will be very weary, and it may be difficult for you, because this is the knowledge where one feels all the unpleasantness. After sitting for about half an hour, you will feel pain, you will feel tingling, you will feel dull pain, you will feel aches, and you will feel dizziness, or you may feel itchings. Then you know it by comprehension that these things are all sufferings or dukkha. Now, as this dukkha is this pain are not staying in one place, it goes from one place to another. Sometimes the intensity increases, or sometimes you have pain, another time you have dull pain, and third time you may have tingling and so on. You know that these things are not, these feelings are not permanent. So you know that is as anicca. First you know dukkha, now you know anicca. Now why do you come here to meditate vipassana meditation? You come to meditate vipassana meditations not to take these offerings. You come here to meditate so that you shall experience the Dhamma, and you shall have the progress of insight, and if deserving, to realize the Noble Dhamma. Now, instead of getting these things, while you are practicing, you are having dukkha or suffering. You don't want it, but you cannot prevent it. That means you cannot control, you have no authority over it. That means you begin to comprehend anatta. Now, for those people who are good at seeing anicca, it can be said that their inherent quality is alobha, non-greed. For these people, the suffering dukkha and the incontrollability anatta may not be apparent. So let us see, for those with inherent quality alobha, one can comprehend, they can comprehend the anicca very easily. For those people with adosa as the inherent quality, they can easily comprehend dukkha. For those people who has the inherent quality amoha, they can comprehend anatta very easily. Of course, you can realize the Noble Dhamma by either anicca or by dukkha or by anatta. These are the three inherent qualities. And Searo gave a few models which I am not going to recite here. Of course, the models explain the same thing. So let us leave the models out. And what Searo said in the last at the last part of the Dhamma talk was that you had listened to my talk on the three ways. That is, which way to follow, you have to decide it by yourself and for yourself. And as you have listened to what he had given you in the Dhamma talk, he said, practice and follow and practice accordingly, and may you be able to realize the Noble Dhamma, all the suffering-free Nibbana that you have been aspiring for by practicing with ease and comprehending the Dhamma very quickly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you.